The Teamwork Arts Podcast, ladies and gentlemen, this is where we try and go behind the thoughts of the actions that animate the creation of the art and the thoughts of those who create that art. And today, of course, I'm sure you must have seen Bahubali. Today, we are trying to pick the brains behind the thought of Bahubali, the man who shows us the importance of perspective, the defeated side, the other side. Mr. Anand Neelkantan, what an absolute pleasure to have you on our
Thank you. Great pleasure to be here always in JLF and fantastic work you have been doing.
It's, we're living in an increasingly black and white world. It's probably as good a time as any to talk about the other side, no? When did this fascination with the other side start?
I always was fascinated about the characters who are deficited as the villains, actually, right. Because there is no villains as such in Indian Puranas. So, where did this come from is very much influenced by the Western style of storytelling, the fairy tale kind of storytelling where good always wins over evil. Right. We don't have the concept, we never had the concept at all, for it came from somewhere else.
That's true. There's also the fact that all of our stories, all of our, for lack of a better way of explaining it, myths, some people would say they're not actually myths, they're based in facts, etc. But the fact to me is that all our storytelling is very layered and we need to spend time with the story to understand the layers, because there's, as you said, literally no definitive way of explaining what is probably oversimplified a little, you think?
I think television did the mistake. Television okay. created a lot of, there were quite popular series when it came and all, but the television Ramayana and Mahabharata totally silenced the kind of variation in the Indian culture. There are right. so many variations of Ramayana, so many variations of Mahabharata or any other story. Like A.K. Ramanujan talks about 300 versions, but it's 300 complete versions. If you take partial versions, some stories, different stories of right. that. Countless numbers are there in every Indian language and every Asian language, perhaps across Asia it is there. There are so many fantastic Ramayana and Mahabharata. What television did was it simplified it and it actually silenced all other voices and it caters to the lowest common denominator. So it strengthened the stereotypes. So what we are having, two generation have passed on since that came.
Right.
So what has happened is you have all caricatures and stereotypes of what the actual characters are. So you have the laughing, ha 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 ha, black skinned asuras and all those kind of things, more cartoonish rather than actual Purana. So it has taken away the depth and the layering and the philosophy of it and made it into something like spoon feeding it in the most possible way. So that is what we are trying to fight. But the kind of, I also write for television because it pays you well and it reaches a lot of people and you have to, I have written more of television than books.
Right.
But this is important. If you ask me which work is important for running the family, you need television, films and other things. But for your creative purpose, you need books.
Right.
So, I explore both worlds. You may call it hypocritical, you may call it market-minded, but this is important for me. So, I write, tell it from the other perspective in the books, whereas in television, you have to cater to the market, you tell what is actually. So,
the fascinating thing about Asura was the, was the treatment of people who are seen as the definitive villains for us, right? And even if you were to take the case of Ravan, arguably the arch villain, so to speak, the bad guy, He was a Prakand Shiv Bhakt. He was a master of the Veena. But what was displayed as his fatal flaw was his ego. And there's a story there. There's a learning there. There's a lesson there as well, which sometimes get lost in the oversimplification. Are we becoming a society who needs ideas spoon-fed to them?
Television made us like that. Television and the linear storytelling made it like that. That's what I said. Ravana is such a layered character, Ravana or Duryodhana are layered character, that these are the books which debates about Dharma rather than telling you this is right, this is wrong.
Right.
So, if Ravana had flaws, Ram also had flaws. Why? Because Ram is, in Valmiki Ramayana also, Ram is not God, he is the avatar of God. There is a fine difference between it. So, when he is a human avatar, whether Ram or Krishna, they will have human flaws. Maybe not as prominent. So, what was Ram's flaw? He is called Maryada Purushottam, that itself is his flaw. Right. So he suffers for that.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying, see, what happens, it's a very Semitic concept of God, the perfect God who doesn't, the sky daddy kind of God.
Absolutely.
This is not like that. So here, everyone is subject to the laws of karma. Whether you are God or whether you are human or Asura or Rakshas or Gandharva or whatever it is, or human, animal. Buddha takes so many births in Jataka tales. Even as animal, he the karma, the cycle of karma, the web of karma doesn't leave him. So that is where the basic philosophy is.
At times like these, where we are living, sometimes expressing opinions like the ones that you just expressed are, to use an understatement, not very popular. So you think we're living in also, increasingly beginning to live in times where the creative space of expression is shrinking? Would you agree?
I don't think so. What I wrote cannot be written in many of the religions and stay alive after that. India has always given space for all kind of opinion. That's why there are so many Ramayanas and so many Mahabharatas. Many of the things which I said is not my invention actually. That Sita is the daughter of Ravan. At least 30 Ramayanas tell that. And this is prevalent for last 2000, 3000 years. It's nothing new. Why it gets prominence now is because many of the people, a villager will not be surprised. Because most of the, you talk to your grandma or granddad, they will not be surprised. They know about this.
Right.
People of our generation or the generation after that may get surprised because they don't know about it. Tradition has been that like 13th century, 14th century, 16th century, right from 2nd century BC, like Urubanga, the Sanskrit play, Duryodhana is the hero in that. Or Karnabara, right from Bhasa had done it 2200 years ago. Same thing had happened in many of the languages, in Malayalam, in Kannada, in any of the classical languages you take, in Tamil, in Bengali, 100-150 years back, Meghanatha Bhadava Kavya came. In Kannada, 300-400 years back, Gadayud came. Malayalam, many of the classical creator tradition has this.
Of course.
From this, there are temples for Ravan, temples for Duryodhan,
of course,
across the country. So,
right,
this has been a part and parcel of the tradition. Maybe for political reasons, somebody is trying to make Hinduism like a Semitic religion of dark ages, of the ages of crusades. That might be a very unfortunate thing to have. Otherwise, traditional Hindus or any traditional Indian religion will not have a problem. Because atheism itself, of the six system of philosophy, three are atheist or agnostic. Buddhism itself is an agnostic religion. Jainism is deliberately an agnostic religion.
Sure.
Or atheistic religion even.
Of course. Would you also agree that in these times, ideas are also, for lack of a better way of explaining it, are being weaponized to serve an agenda and sometimes taken out of context as well?
Ideas were always weaponized as an agenda, right? It's nothing new about this. The entire Mahabharata turned to a Brahmin glorification because it was used as a weapon. You read it, it is equally praising or critical of it. But a lot of things were added. So there are so many versions of Mahabharata, but a lot of things were added to make Krishna into God who, and there are scenes like where Krishna says words like this, that actually I am not the God, Brahmins are the God.
Okay.
These are all added to it later.
Sure.
Actually. So it was always used as a agenda to propagate. Original Ramayana or Mahabharata is not casteist, but casteist forces used it in the medieval era for their own selfish interests.
Right.
So it's nothing new about this. And the fight back also, there was always a reaction. It's not that it was always passively taken. If somebody came with an idea, the fight back also came. That's why you had temples for Ravan or Duryodhana and other things. You know, many of the saints of India used Ramayana and Mahabharata to fight back against casteism itself. It is an ongoing fight. It's not a, even that is a very linear telling. No, India has always been caste ridden and always some new saviors have come here now and they are going to change it. No,
sure.
Casteism was a very big problem. The rebellion against casteism also happened right from the beginning. Buddhism itself was a rebellion against rituals and casteism and Varnasrama Dharma and other things. So it has, this is an ongoing revolution. India is a country of mutinies. It keeps happening. Rebellions and arguments
but
keep happening.
As we are told, if you don't learn from history, you're condemned to repeat the mistakes of history.
And we have been repeating it every century.
We don't seem to be learning enough, do we?
Do any civilization learn that? Nobody learns that. No? If they read how Hitler had risen, would dictators be there anywhere else? Nowhere else.
That's true.
Even now in our society, we find that a lot of educated people, the common people have more common sense. So-called elite, I have heard many of them. See, we are living in an era where for the first time in the history, the rulers are answerable to the common people on the street. And the common people have the power to remove the...
Absolutely.
Earlier, only the people who had a sword or a gun or a cannon could remove.
Right.
Now the people have the power. And even now when the people have the power, even now there are idiots who are telling that we should have an autocracy. Isn't it? So, who is more foolish?
Yeah.
Only power you give to a common man is the distinct vote. We are living in the best. I'm not talking about any recent 1 year, 2 year, 5 year, 10 year, 20 year, 30 year, 40 year or anything. But in the last, say, 100 years or 70 years at least for India, we are living in the best period in history. Nowhere everyone had the same right. Somebody had some rights, somebody were special based on their religion, based on the caste, based on their thing. At least theoretically, everyone has the same right.
Theoretically, before the law, that's important to
That is a very big step, no?
Sure.
In front of the law itself, you didn't have, then
sure.
At least theoretically, we have. At least there are courts to ask you. At least there are people who beat you up. There is at least some system to answer, ask that. So, we are living in the kind of the what science has given, no philosophy or religion has given to us.
Sure. Absolutely. So, coming to the process of you creating your art, so to speak, what's the process like? I mean, I know that there's a lot of research that is required for what you write. It's very, very labor intensive in that way. Also, there's a creative aspect to it, which is a very strong aspect. I mean, just one has to look at the output that is Bahubali, that being the lowest fruit to, to pick off the tree that you have created of your art. How do you balance the academic rigor with the creative chaos, or does one take precedence over the other? How does that process work?
See, any art is a balance.
Right.
An art to stay, including literature, one, it has to be, I don't subscribe that art has to be pure. There is nothing called pure art. Art has to be commercial. You see, anything which has sustained, they have been popular also. Only in the elite intellectual ganja circle, you may call that this kind of that what nobody reads, nobody can understand is celebrated. Otherwise, if you see whatever art has been popular, those authors have been popular always, or they become popular. Whatever poetry or sculptures, all have been popular and they have sustained it. So, it has to be commercial and it has to be popular. That is one criteria. It has to sustain over years, over centuries. That's the definition of art. And art involves a lot of labor.
Sure.
Which art,
of course,
create so many temples, it would have involved labor of 40, 50 years.
Sure.
So, hard work is a part of art.
Of course.
Otherwise, you call it fluke or luck.
But are you, in a way, subconsciously, compartmentalizing a certain, as you said, I mean, there's a certain limit of derision in the way that you use the elite and the very pejorative ganja circle that you've used. You think there's a little bit of the compartmentalization of the audiences that you're...
It is not the people who compartmentalized it. It is these kind of people who themselves compartmentalized it and started giving awards to each other.
Okay.
Which they can throw away when they don't like at each other. Other than that, imagine Tolstoy never got a Nobel Prize. So many people got Nobel Prize. Who remembers them? Isn't it? So, all these things, whether awards or these people calling elite, intellectual, this thing, they call themselves. You can call yourself anything. You make a clique of five people and you can scratch each other's back. It doesn't matter.
Right.
For the public, for the art to list, none of it doesn't care for any of these things.
Mm.
What they create, this is that. It is just their closed company.
Sure.
So, I don't care for that. Most of the authors or writers or artists who create real art don't care for these kind of things.
Mm.
When you are retired, when you have nothing much to produce, then you can enter into this field.
Okay. So, creative output according to you, must cater to the mass rather than it needs to be disseminated.
You cannot design anything that okay, let it be for the mass.
Right.
Let it for anything. You write what you are.
For example, when you write, do you keep an audience in mind, or is the subject the pure?
I definitely keep an audience in mind, and I think anything you create should have. Taj Mahal was created as an art, but it kept the aesthetics in mind. It has to be pleasing to anything. Otherwise, it will be like some modern sculpture which looks like a train wreck. And you say this is my artistic expression. If it is your artistic expression, don't bring it to your public place. Keep it at your home.
Okay.
If it is in the public place, if you are publishing it, people should be able to understand it. To what level, that you cannot command. Maybe 10 people will read it, 100 people will read it. But if I don't respect my reader, if I don't respect the public, I'm not saying you cater to the public opinion, but it should be accessible. You take any, Shakespeare was the most popular writer of his time. Tolstoy was the most popular writer of his time. Dickens was the most popular writer of his time.
Absolutely.
Tagore was very popular, right?
Sure.
None of them were sitting in the ivory tower and preaching to people that if you don't understand my shit, that is your problem and I am the greatest guy in the world.
Right, of course. Right.
Ramayana, Tulsidas ji had a group of 500 people who roamed around popularizing it. That was the marketing of that era.
Sure. So,
Valmiki Ramayana is still popular, right?
Of course.
Just because it is popular, you say that no, it's not art.
And that's that's very interesting because the Bahubali bit, the Asura bit, has made you wildly popular as far as the subject of your writing and the writing itself is concerned. Do you think that also places a little bit of a burden? Do you ever feel burdened by the fact that now you are also seen as a certain writer doing a certain thing? Does that ever enter the scheme of things, thoughts?
For me, I was always very clear that I want to be read. And I won't care a damn for the awards. If it comes, it comes. Some awards have come, it comes, I keep it in my shelf, that's all.
Right.
It doesn't matter for me. Because these are all, and I will create a lot of work. Because I want to experiment. So, television, OTT platforms, I write thrillers. I'm not stuck to only mythology.
Exactly.
I'll be writing about serial killers. I'll be writing about spy thrillers.
Sure.
I'll be writing all genre.
Right.
And I experiment with audiobooks. I write travelogue. I write poetry. Nobody reads my poetry, but I write it just for the heck of it.
Right.
And I'm not writing it for critical acclaim. I just enjoy life. Whatever comes, I do.
Sure.
And I want to be read. I want to be popular. And I want to be read for a long time. Maybe 100 years, 300 years, 400 years. That's my ambition. Maybe nobody will care. It doesn't matter.
But ambition does not really see that far, does it?
So, I am even writing a book called Asura Marga, which will be coming there, where I say ambition is what drives humanity. Jealousy is a good emotion, which I have put in Asura also.
Yeah.
Which I am expanding to it. Jealousy is a good emotion. Competition is important. Because if you are, and discontentment is the energy of progress. If you are contented, you will be still living in the caves or in the tree, right? You are discontented, that's why you created all these things.
That's a point. That's for someone taking a cue from you to pursue what you do, what would be the points that you would tell them to keep in mind while taking their first steps in this profession, so to speak?
First of all, just write what you feel strongly about. And write so that people will understand it. So I do no offense meant, a de-terrorification, my country cousins process. I go through every word and see whether any word I have used which my son who is 15 cannot understand. Because my idea is to convey my idea and not to this thing. But as you write, I would have written like so many screenplays and other things, many million words. So there is a natural tendency of my work becoming vocabulary increase. English is not my first language. Vocabulary becoming more and more dense.
Sure.
So now it is I spend more time editing out the kind of words which an Indian, and I write for Indians. I don't write an asterisk and put italics dharma. I know what my audience wants.
Right.
So I write dharma as dharma, I write karma as karma.
Right.
I'm not writing for the Western audience.
Right.
If they want to read it, let them read it. Because the Western audience is not writing for us, no?
Hmm.
This is our inferiority complex where we want to write for the Western audience, and only if they say it's a good book, it's a good book. I don't care.
Sure.
So when I write for a common people here who can read English and which can be translated to all Indian languages. And I also try to make my writing very visual, because I believe this is an era of visual poetry.
Yeah.
First thing is, I don't know that much English. So what happens is, I want someone who reads it to form a screenplay in his mind, a film in his mind. Because in the last 100 years, we are living in an era of visual way of storytelling. Before that, it was a oral way of hearing stories.
Of
poetry was important. So the words and word plays played a big role.
Sure.
But now, more than the words, it is a visual which is important.
Sure.
This is something which I identified earlier itself. That's why many of the directors who read my books, including Rajamouli, who called me to write the books, because for them it is easy to connect.
Sure.
Because it's very visual.
Of course.
So I develop that visual style, and I'm deliberate in that visual style. I will say to any aspiring writer, try to develop a visual style rather than trying to run around and create beautiful vocabulary. If it comes, it's good. But maybe it will take you to a place where only few people will understand.
Hmm. Hmm.
But visually, even a kid will understand.
Hmm. Sure.
So that's my way of telling. I'm not telling that is the way and that's the right way.
Sure.
There will be 1,000 right ways. But this has given me success. This has made me more into a screenplay writer. And believe it or not, screenplays and visual storytelling pays you 100 times more than what you get from the book. So,
sure.
Book you do for a satisfaction of it.
Sure.
I will never, 11 books now, 4 in the print, and I have signed for another 10 books. So, I will be keeping on writing books and columns and travelogues and all other things. But it doesn't pay you much relatively. That's a harsh fact. For a country of 130-140 crore, if you sell 1 lakh copy, you are like strutting around like a peacock. This actually, by percentage wise, you write a film, 40, 50, 60 crore people watches. So,
sure.
That's a kind of power of visual media.
For sure.
If you are a writer, you should try to, because I will again tell, Kalidasa wrote beautiful poetry, but he wrote drama also. And his dramas are more popular than poetry. Shagundala, even Shakespeare wrote sonnets, but at that era, it was drama. Theater is it. Now it is films and OTTs and other things.
Sure.
So if you are a writer, you cannot say, I will play only test cricket. You have to play IPL also. That's where
sure.
money is.
Sure.
Of course, you should play test, because that's very important. So
absolutely.
You write books, but films and shows are OTT, IPLs.
Sure.
You cannot ignore it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's something to keep in mind from someone who comes from a place of knowledge. He's done it and then he's telling you how to do it. So probably a good idea to listen, because that's becoming a bit of a luxury. So remember to listen well. That's important. The Teamwork Arts Podcast with the absolutely incredible Anand Neelkandan. Thank you very much, sir, for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And
I'm sorry if I offended anyone, but I speak my mind.
I'm telling you, honest views are just so refreshing now without the veneer of trying to give it other meanings. It's unvarnished truth that you got on the Teamwork Arts Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, do let us know. Comments, likes, subscriptions, whatever it is that you want to give us, they'll all be more than welcome. Remember to follow us on all our social media handles. Anand Neelkandan, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and do read my books.
Important to read. Important to read. Do tell us what you think and what's happening next. Well, for that, you'll just have to follow us on social media. Thank you very much for listening. This is the Teamwork Arts Podcast.